If you would, we would ask you to turn in your Bibles in a second. We will go there, but we look at communion and I'm always pausing on Communion Sunday to try to drive home a spiritual truth about why we celebrate communion. Get ecclesiastical hierarchy involved in many things that churches do, and they fancy it up, and they put a ritual in it, and then they tell you by somehow participating in some magic ritual, it will infuse you with salvation. Nothing could be further from the truth. The Bible says this is a celebration of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection until we come. This is a testimony. So people that are taught that some religious figure wearing fancy clothes and jewelry and them lifting up the juice, the wine, and the wafer somehow magically transform it, that is absolute lie. So let's look at what we do celebrate. We're celebrating Jesus' inauguration of the new covenant. There has been, because of what Jesus did, Jesus said on the night in which he was betrayed, in which communion became a part of what we do, "Behold, this is the new covenant." The old covenant is the Old Testament. Everything in the Old Covenant is bye-bye. Jesus inaugurated the New Covenant. So let's take a look at, you want to be an Old Covenant person? Turn to Exodus chapter, let's see, I have it marked, Exodus chapter 20. And let's just take a look at what Jesus canceled. How many can you can name the Ten Commandments? How many of you have violated one of those Ten Commandments? "He who is without sin may cast the first stone," Jesus said. Number one, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make an idol," unless you're an established religious group that makes idols of everybody. As a matter of fact, there is one religious group that moderates that stipulation on idolatry, because that's all you have if you go into those churches, are idols everywhere. "You shall not worship them or serve them. Don't take the name of your Lord, your God, in vain." Well, today, Hollywood can take Jesus' name in vain, mock it, do anything they want, but if you say something that's a name that's politically incorrect today, guess what happens? You lose your job. You can take Jesus' name in vain all you want. You can mock him, defile him, but say something that is politically incorrect today, and you'll lose your job. As a matter of fact, in Canada, it's in the news this morning. A Canadian man was passing out a brochure about how God loves and Jesus died for their sins. He was arrested, convicted of hate speech, and is spending 2 years in jail in Canada. I'll tell you something, you better not take your freedom for granted in this country. 2 years of hate speech. Now Canada considers the scripture to be hate speech. "Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy." Well, there is no Sabbath under the new covenant, by the way. Sunday is not the Sabbath. The Sabbath is sundown Saturday or Friday to sundown Saturday. And if you're going to keep the Sabbath, you can't just keep the Sabbath. You have to keep it all or none. How many of you are going to go out to have a restaurant today and you want lobster, shrimp, or a nice ham sandwich? If you want to be an old covenant person, don't you dare. You can't just pick and choose under the old covenant. You have to keep it all. So under the old covenant, all the dietary laws are there for you too. 6 days you'll labor, but on the seventh you rest. That's no longer for us. We don't keep a Sabbath. Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long on the earth. You shall not kill. So what do? Kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. And all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning and the flashes, and they said, all that you command, we will do. And then here is what the old covenant was all about. If you go to Exodus 21, here is the essence of the old covenant. It is summarized in this way. Life for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. That was the old covenant. Why? It was to teach people, after all of the sin and idolatry of that world, the sense of right and wrong. But when Jesus inaugurated the new covenant, Jesus abrogated the old covenant. All of it with its racial bias toward one group of people. The new covenant now gives everyone the right to be God's chosen. We saw that in Ephesians, didn't we? Under the old covenant, you had to be a certain ethnic group and get under the law. Under the new covenant, Jesus, all of us who follow Jesus are part of that chosen group. And Jesus said this in correcting in Matthew. Under the new covenant, you have heard that under the old covenant in Matthew 5:38, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. What does that mean? Suppose you go out today and you accidentally step on Cheryl's foot and break it. She could, if she's an old covenant person, she would be able to break your foot in response. Maybe someone will accidentally poke your eye out. You would have the right to do that. How do you like that? But Jesus said, you have heard under the old covenant, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist him who does you evil. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other one also. By the way, under that, it is so much harder to be a follower of Jesus than Moses. Wouldn't you love? You'd have the right under Moses. If someone slapped you on the cheek, you'd have the right to turn around and immediately slap them back. Under the new covenant, living Christ-like, Jesus said, if they slap this cheek, guess what you're to do? Boy, is that hard. Boy, is that hard. And if anyone wants to sue you, take and give them your shirt and coat. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. Give to him who asks of you and charge them interest. That's the banking system. Under the new covenant, there shouldn't be any of this. But who was ever in charge of the banking system must be under the old covenant where they could do that and charge. Give to him who asks of you and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. And so how do we summarize the new covenant? Well, that's where I want to go. Well, how do we make this practical? Do you want to be an old covenant person? Or would you prefer to be under Jesus where it says this? In Romans 12:8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the Mosaic law. So here, all of the preaching you hear from these crazy preachers and all of these nuts on the radio, if they'd stick to the word, here is the new covenant. Don't worry about, can you name the Ten Commandments? Don't worry about it. Simple question in Christianity under the new covenant. What would love do? And look what Paul will go on to say. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor just like you do yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the what? Fulfillment of the law. Under the old covenant, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and all the commandments. Under the new covenant of Jesus, it's simply summarized this way. What would love do? And when you do what love does, Paul said you actually fulfill the law and don't have to worry about all of that eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So different from what we hear some of these Christians who advocate some weird stuff.